Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA. I'm in Los Angeles sitting next to Jackie McMullen. Isn't that lovely?
Fun.
And it's Andrew, fun. Andrew Hahn's in the room too.
Yeah, not as fun. No kidding. Love you, Andrew.
We're at the ESPN LA studios here. We'll be going. You're going to the Laker game tonight, right?
Yes, I am.
Lakers Warriors.
Looking forward to it.
Not as big as what at the start of the season when we planned this.
No.
But, oh well. That's life. Joining us from Houston, where he finally made it after tweeting his way through his delays. Nobody likes more than seeing people complain about travel issues on Twitter. Tim McMahon.
Hey.
Banned from flying last night.
Sometimes you got to make sure the miles floweth. You know what I mean?
Brian, I just want to make sure that you point out that this is posting on a Thursday morning.
Okay, so we're recording this midday Wednesday. We'll be posting tomorrow morning. So we're not going to talk about what happens. We are at a mystery. You folks listening to this know what happened in that Clippers, Rockets game that McMahon is covering tonight.
Well, we know what happened too, but we're just not going
to. We don't know. Well, we do know what happened. That's right. Everything's fixed. Where's my spreadsheet that says what's going to happen? Okay, here it is. Oh, that's going to be a great one.
If you had that, you'd make predictions.
You're right. No, or maybe I wouldn't, just to throw people off.
You know, I started my day yesterday in Boston, where I did not have the pleasure of seeing Jackie Mack, which was
Doesn't
a huge disappointment.
Tim. I know, man. Sorry
I did get
that.
To see I did get to see my little nephew for about 20 minutes, so that was good.
Cool.
That's what you call Bon Temps, your nephew?
Yeah.
I would never claim Bon Temps as part of my family. You know me better than that.
Well, speaking of the Celtics, they're 8-1, have the best record in the NBA.
Who saw that coming? Raise your hand.
I mean, I think that they thought, Jackie, that they would be competitive. They have not played the hardest schedule, but they've played some good teams, and they've had a whole bunch of injury problems. Jaylen Brown's been out. Obviously, now Gordon Hayward is out. Their center position has been decimated. Cantor is barely played for them, and Daniel Tice has been out. They've been, you know, so this is pretty impressive to me.
Yes.
Jackie, what's working for them?
Well, one thing that isn't surprising, and that is they take care of the ball better than anybody in the NBA.
Maybe
by a significant
margin. Maybe some of the best in history taking
right.
care of the ball.
Less than 11 turnovers a game. So that is not shocking, because Kemba Walker historically takes care of the ball. And if you look last year at the Celtics, they took pretty good care of the ball last year as well. Kyrie Irving's also not a high turnover player historically. So but other players are handling the ball. A lot of guys are handling the ball. But so that part is significant but not shocking. What shocks me beyond belief, Brian, was – I just assumed there had to be a defensive drop-off because of the loss of Al Horford and Aaron Baines, who, aside from Marcus Smart, who was an All-NBA defender, they're two best defenders. And I thought, well, this is really what's going to bite them. And to your point, Enes Kanter hasn't even played, and we know he can be a defensive liability at times, but he's barely played. These guys are third in the league in terms of defensive field goal percentage against opponents. So Toronto's one and Utah's two by a very slim margin. And Boston comes in three. They're in the top five in almost every defensive metric. And that surprises me because of the loss of two of their pillars of their defense.
How about their top three offense too?
Well, that to me isn't as shocking either, because you now have an equal opportunity offense. Kemba's still your guy. He's your closer. He's going to take great shots. But you knew that there'd be more shots and more opportunities for guys like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward. You knew that was going to happen. And I guess I saw enough of those three guys that there were a lot of things that happened last year, but I felt that each one of them could take a step forward. And they've each taken a huge step forward, the 1-for-18 game for Tatum notwithstanding. Those things happen.
McMahon was there for that. Tatum shoots 1-of-18. Of course, Porzingis wasn't much better.
Well, he was 1-for-14, so they negate each other, really, in many ways.
McMahon, you were there for that game. Luka had a great game, but what did you take away from seeing the Celtics that night?
I mean, Kemba looks absolutely spectacular. He could not miss from three. You know, Jaylen Brown looks like the guy that we saw that was a key player in a run to the Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, Marcus Smart is, you know what you're going to get with him. He actually hit a lot of shots in that game, some big shots. But, He's an absolute pit bull. And, you know, they've got with Tatum, Smart, and Brown, you know, that is a good defensive core there. Now,
it really is.
Now, you know, I do think there's a little bit of a small sample size slash played the Knicks a couple times, played the Cavs, played the Hornets. You know, I think they'll end up maybe an above.
Yeah, I agree. This is not gonna be this. They're not going to win 63 games, but it's still
won't be a great.
Yeah, but here's the thing:
they will be a great offensive team, though.
They came back from I don't remember how many double digits down to the Milwaukee Bucks and beat them.
Huge win for them.
I mean, that was a big, big win. And here's another thing that you need to that I've looked at with these during the offseason. So Gordon Hayward, you just needed him to get his mojo back. Clearly, he did before he broke his hand. I think everybody feels terrible for him because of that. Tatum, come on, dude. Don't take those long twos. We've been asking you. Just take a step back and shoot those threes. He's doing that. But here's the thing, the most important thing. So Jaylen Brown, go to the basket. You have the skill set to do that. Last year, averaged 2.72 free throws attempts a game. Already at 5.16 free throws attempts this year. So almost double. And that changes everything for everybody when you play that way. This is a team that needs to get to the line more. They are doing that. Now, they still are thin up front. Their bench is still a concern. You need some firepower off your bench. I think when Gordon Hayward does come back, they put Smart back coming off the bench. But a guy like Grant Williams still waiting to hit his first NBA three. Carson Edwards, streaky shooter. I think he's shooting 25% from three. You need more from your bench. Wanamaker's been decent the last few games. Maybe he's going to help you there. You need more depth off that bench because these guys are playing, I'm sure, more minutes than Brad Stevens would like.
Do you need more from that bench, or does Danny Ainge need to go upgrade the bench?
Well, let's talk about that.
That's a fair question.
Let's talk about that real quick. So I actually was talking to Tim Bontemps, who lives in Boston, covers the Celtics for us. Here's the issue when you talk about the Celtics upgrade. We all know that they could use another big.
For sure.
And Hayward's going to be out 6 weeks. You're hoping he comes back and is able to – I mean, he was shooting 44% from three. I mean,
and
wow.
And 55% from the floor.
Just awesome. They don't have much to trade.
Picks. Picks and picks.
Yeah, but they got it. What are they attaching to those picks? What are they using? They don't have. I'll look at their pick situation here in a second.
They have a lot of picks, but.
But remember, you got to trade a player for that.
Right. Like, and you the only trade you could make would be a really big one. When you decide, you know what? We have too many wings, which they have so many wings, I can't even believe it. But I don't believe that Brad Stevens thinks he has too many. I think he's running a five-wing offense in a lot of ways. Let's count Kemba as a wing if you want to. They're playing a different way. This is the way Brad has played since he got into the league. He likes to play with wings. And so everyone else thinks there's redundancy there. I don't know if Danny Ainge thinks that. So the trade you could make, but it would have to be a blockbuster. You know, it would have to be Hayward or Jaylen Brown or something like that. Why would you do that?
Before the season started, I was eyeing a possible Steven Adams for Gordon Hayward swap.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. I wouldn't do that.
Not the way Hayward's playing. I'll tell you something else that we talked about this in the podcast last week. The way Hayward's playing, I think he's going to opt out of his contract, don't you? He's an opt out.
I don't know. It's just too early to
say. I know, you're right.
There's too much. Just, you know, the broken hand is like, what? Again? Know. You know, just who knows?
I just want to point out that Brian almost made another prediction before Jackie talked him out of it. That Hayward was going to opt out of his contract.
Oh, wow, that's true.
I agree with Jackie. You don't make those calls in November.
Wow, I was Win Horstian just then, wasn't I?
All right, here's their pick package. They own all of their own first-round picks. That's not something a lot of teams can say.
Yep. Memphis pick.
They have the Memphis pick if it falls outside the top seven, which.
I thought it was top six.
Top seven this year. Top.
Some protect next year, isn't it?
I think it's unprotected next year. Yes, that's right. Yeah. And then they have Milwaukee pick next year. They have it this year they have Milwaukee's pick this year. Top eight protected. So they have extra picks for sure. But you have to, if you're going to trade for a player of real, they could do Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, that's a guy, you know, does that excite you to help their center ranks?
I mean, at what price? I think we all know this. We all know that post-ups are declining at such an alarming rate that you wonder if it'll be an obsolete in the game 3 or 4 years from now. So maybe this is the new way to play. And if this is the new way to play, then how is Willie Cauley-Stein going to help you?
Right. I'm just talking about if you're looking for big men that they could get without having to, you know, talk about Marcus Smart, who I think is, you know, pretty much the heart and soul of the way they play. I couldn't see them trading Marcus Smart, to be honest with you.
No. I mean, but you know what? I couldn't see them trading Aaron Baines either, but they had to. It was a necessity.
Yeah, and Baines has been terrific.
He's been unbelievable. I suppose we're banned from talking about the Phoenix Suns, Andrew.
Oh, no. I would like to hear some Phoenix Suns conversations if you guys want to.
I've been pushing the Suns. And
as the Suns' biggest supporter.
Oh, you are such a liar. His nose is growing.
Let me say this about the Celtics, which has really super impressed me. Now, they lost Hayward. Okay, that's unfortunate. I mentioned he was shooting 43%. How about Kemba shooting 44%? Right. Jason Tatum, and these are like on volume. They're not shooting two a game.
You know, well, Tatum. That's what happens when you spray the ball and you're all standing behind the 3-point line. Like, what are you going to do? Which guy are you going to double?
Let's stop dancing around it. The team is built more for the way Brad Stevens wants to coach. It's not in a character indictment. We can go on about character indictment, but this team is built the way these players want to play.
That's right.
Now that we've said all these nice things about them, watch them lose to Isaiah tonight.
Well, they have some issues, you know. They do have some issues with their bench, and it's just at some point.
Isaiah Thomas told the Washington Post today he'll be an all-star again. He wanted everybody to know.
I really hope that's true. I really do. And you know what? It's that positive self-talk that got him into the league and got him the chances that he's had. So I'm not going to clap back on that because the guy's been through so much, and I hope he is an all-star.
Marcus
someday.
Smart shooting 37% on 7 threes a game. I mean, that's a dream.
Yeah, but you know what? Except for Brown, he's doing everything else well.
Right. But I'm telling you, Marcus Smart, you know, he got into that beef. I don't know if you saw it last week with the officials. He got teed up.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's about because he knows he's established himself as a defensive icon almost. Look, guarding Kevin Love, guarding Porzingis, guys that are 6-7 inches tall.
He ate Porzingis alive.
He did. And he ate Kevin Love alive before that.
He was happy to.
Yeah.
He wanted to.
Right. And so we know he's built his reputation on that, but he wants these officials to recognize how hard he's worked to become an offensive player and to be able to shoot those threes. He shot, I don't have it in front of me, 37% last year? Let me look it up. I got a laptop right in front of me that is not mine. So let's see what comes up. It's Andrew Hahn's
36.4, Jackie.
Okay, so 30, so like 37%. Yeah. So, you know, he'll tell you this is not a fluke. This is something I've been working on for years.
And
whether that's true or not, we'll see.
Andrew doesn't like when I talk about the World Cup, but when I was in China, Baines shot the heck out of the 3-pointer at real high.
I don't find this to be a shock at all. I'm sorry. I saw the dude in Boston. He can do it.
But while there was a lot of disappointment on the U.S. side, I thought Jaylen Brown for 3 or 4 games was almost the best player on the court. Kemba mm-hmm. was their best player for sure. And Marcus Smart was dealing with an injury. He missed he kind of rushed back from an injury. And then once they got knocked out of the winner's bracket, he shut it down. But, he played great for them. He saved them, in one of the games, he saved them. And so those guys who played over there reaping some of the benefits and also showing what they worked on. I mean, Aaron Baines clearly started shooting some 3-pointers last year, clearly improved on it.
Right.
And it carried over. And before we move on, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to our Zach Lowe. He speaks with Chris Herring this week about the load management craze and 4 of the most interesting teams in the NBA. And they're probably not the teams that you might think, because with Zach and Chris especially, those guys go off book. That's this week on the Low Post podcast, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. He's also got a podcast with Rick Carlisle from the Dallas Mavericks. You should listen to that while you're there as well. Low Post. All right, let's go down the coast to their lesser Atlantic Division brethren, the Knickerbockers of New York. So I spent hours the other night. I was assigned this story by my boss, and I spent hours the other night looking back to pretty much every public comment that Steve Mills and Scott Perry have made since they hired David Fizdale. Huh. And I covered the Knicks draft and was in New York at their facility the night of their draft. They had they didn't have a very exciting night other than the fact they got RJ Barrett, but there wasn't a lot going on. And so Scott and Steve were very kind to sit down with me and talk about their organization and where they were. And so I have a pretty good feel. And my thing, you know, regardless of where they are, they're 2-9. But regardless of all that, what I see from them, guys, is a real lack of sticking to a plan. And the reason that's disappointing is when you go back and look at everything that they've said, they really thought that this was their plan, that they were going to build through the draft and build through player development. And when they hired David Fizdale, they said, we think he can develop young players. But that's just wasn't the way they operated.
Okay, but let's stop here for just a second. I'm sorry. Shenanigans. That is not their plan. Their plan was, I want Kevin Durant, I want Kyrie Irving, and you got none of those.
Which
that
is why
was your plan.
When they hired Fizdale, one of the reasons they hired him was because they knew that all those players reacted. Remember all those stars lined up on Twitter when he was fired by the Grizzlies?
By the Grizzlies.
LeBron, Dame Lillard, Wade, and pretty much anybody who'd been through Miami. Basically anybody not named Marc Gasol.
Right. And they made their peace.
They did.
Their piece.
They did. And this is why they hired him. So even though they were saying they were a developmental team, they hired a coach to draw free agents. Okay.
It's not his fault they didn't come.
I agree. So when they made the Porzingis trade, yes, they got two first round picks. Yes, they got Dennis Smith Jr. But do you know what they talked about right up front? And
Free agency.
They talked
Nolan
about.
Went on the radio and talked about free agency.
They talked
By
about
the way,
68 million in space. 68 when, million in and, space. They kept saying.
And when they, you know, Fizdale had other offers. They pitched him.
He had
on,
three or four other potential
they
offers.
They pitched him on. They were going to go out and get big time free agents. So this is how many times does Steve Mills get to play the CYA cycle?
Okay, but let me just bring this last point up. Okay, so. Let's just say that they were saying one thing and doing another. Almost every team in pro sports does that. Here's what I don't understand. When Anthony Davis was available, the messaging that they had was, we can't pay that price. Anthony Davis wanted to be in New York. He did not want to be in Boston. He did not want to be in Boston. He did want to be in LA. Rich Paul said it in Sports Illustrated. I mean, it was well known to anybody who covered the league. Rich Paul was in Sports Illustrated on the record saying Anthony Davis wants to play for the Knicks. So my thing is this, after you've gotten this cap space and after really that your move was to play with free agents and you've had Jim Dolan coming out on national radio saying we got guys coming, why would you then play the, oh no, we can't trade all these picks and young players for Anthony Davis? Why wouldn't you go after Anthony Davis? This is where the disconnect from the Knicks makes me frustrated. And if I was their fans, I'd be frustrated.
Well, I guess the question is, though, he said he wanted to play for the Knicks. But the more that the Lakers became a reality, was he of the mindset, I want to play for the Knicks, but
well,
I'd rather Right. I'd rather play for the Lakers. So if I go to the Knicks and it's a train wreck for a year, like another New Orleans, I'm going to play well, put up numbers, and we're not going to go anywhere. Well, I'm going to make sure I have an out to go to the Lakers. And don't you think that's what the Knicks were afraid of?
I think the Knicks were afraid of that they would trade for Anthony Davis, and they knew when Jim Dolan made those comments in March, they made the trade on the last day of January. I think by the time Anthony Davis was on the market after David Griffin was hired, I think the bloom was off the rose, and I think they knew that Kyrie and Durant weren't coming.
Everyone knew.
And that's why they didn't. But I still wonder, you're saving all of this stuff and you got the extra assets from Dallas. I mean, they were positioned to do it.
Right.
They could have made, and not only that, they could have outbid the Lakers. The Lakers offer was the fourth pick. The number three pick was deemed to be worth more in this draft.
Of course.
So much so that the Pelicans went around and traded it as soon as they got, not as soon as that, but they eventually traded it.
Right.
So, that's my whole thing. As I looked at this block of maneuvers, and you can point to each individual one and nitpick and all that stuff. If they were really going to, you know, because in my mind, that's, I know that's a trade, but it's essentially a free agent move. why not just go in and get Anthony Davis? Just go get him and say that's our big play. That's where we're using some of our cap space and these guys on.
Why get one power forward when you can get four in summer?
There you go.
Well, that was the other thing is that, you know, you remember they put out that statement. I think it was actually before midnight on, at least I was out here in LA. It was before midnight LA. You remember this?
Yeah.
They put out a statement basically because they had for months from, it wasn't just Dolan. I mean, Dolan sort of went a little far, but like they put out statements to their free agent or to their season ticket holders. They put out statements when they talked at like the combine and stuff and the lottery. And they were like, remember, we've got $70 million in cap space. Remember? So they put out a statement before midnight, West Coast time on June 30th. We're really sorry. We didn't get our guys. We still have a great free agent, idea. So they went from saying they were sorry to pivoting and saying, no, we like this team.
Yeah, why can't Fizdale get results from this roster, this
right.
great roster?
Oh, stop it.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I'm, it's one thing to have a plan and you stick to it and you got to right. fight through it and everything like that. But it's another when I don't see any semblance of sticking to the plan. And they keep saying, but we're sticking to our plan.
Yeah, but here's the thing you're totally discounting. It all comes down to Jim Dolan. Do you think I would recommend everybody read Frank Isola's column today regarding the Knicks? And in it, he makes the point that Mills was browbeaten by James Dolan at halftime, apparently, of the game the night that they made this extraordinary post-game press conference. Well, their coach, by the way, is still in the locker
room. Jackie, in all your years, have you ever heard of a general manager giving a press conference after the game before the coach?
No. Nope.
General managers just, on game nights is rare. Anyway.
I mean, and you know,
to complain about the coach.
Well, just it was such, and you know, it was coming directly right. from Dolan. Read Isola's column; it's as clear as day.
Well, Steph Bondia, the Daily News, who's persona non grata at the Garden, but you know, he was charting during the game. He was tweeting during the game. He's like, well, Steve Mills and Scott Perry are not back out of their seats here in the third quarter, and neither is Jim Dolan.
Oh,
and
there
then,
you go.
And then he was like, by the way, they're still not out of their seats.
Right.
So, I don't know what was said. But,
well, you have a pretty good idea, don't
yeah,
you?
Because the map. Did it look to you
like Steve Mills was up there feeling really great about what he was saying?
Well, the other thing is he came out.
He didn't even sell it. If you're gonna, you know, because yeah. he knew it was wrong.
He came out and said, "Well, it's 10 games in, and I thought we owed you guys an explanation." And I was like,
"How about we're 10 years in and you owe us an explanation?" Come
but
on,
like,
dude.
Like, where is that the standard?
No,
that
it's 10 crazy. Games? Stop.
I did like Fizz's response the next day when he's like, I got 2.5 years left of my contract.
Man, I feel for Fizz, don't you? I feel for this guy.
No, because he's got 2.5 years left on his contract. I mean, and when he comes back to work for ESPN, it won't be off.
And I love the players really okay. backed him, too. You know, the players seem to really back
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just not a very good team. And, you know, they do have RJ who, and I think Mitchell Robinson was a nice draft pick. He's got some challenges with his profile, but,
yeah.
And he's hurt now with a concussion.
Yeah. Right. By the way, they kept playing him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's an uneven roster and Fizz, the one thing you could say, I guess, is he's changed his lineups a lot. RJ's starting to slump just a little bit. His numbers are dipping a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he's shooting 42%.
Well, let me tell you why this is going to get 41% worse before it gets better. Okay. So Thursday they have the big Porzingis return game.
Well, don't you think, by the way, don't you think, Tim, that this is a big part of why all this is happening now? Because everyone, this isn't hindsight. A lot of people are like, why are you trading Porzingis?
Yeah, but Knicks fans aren't mad that they traded Porzingis.
They should be.
Yeah, but I mean, they hate Porzingis and it's going to be an absolute zoo there. And I mean, the last win of the Fizdale era might be, I might have seen it in Dallas. The Knicks do treat seeing Porzingis like a Super Bowl.
That's
they
true.
Got up for that game. I guess they had a heck of a party and had a major hangover when the old Cavs came to town a couple of days later.
All right. Well, okay. So listen to their schedule. So they got a 3-game homestand and I don't know, maybe Fizdale wants out, but if he doesn't, I think they got to win two of these. So they play the Porzingis return game Thursday night at the Garden. Then on Saturday they have the Hornets in there. The Hornets are better than we thought.
They are.
But you got to win that game. And I'm not only because it's the Hornets, because listen to this, listen to what's coming. Then the Cavs, who just came in there and beat them and almost beat the Sixers.
The Cavs,
Tuesday night.
The Cavs are pretty frisky.
They've gotten a lot better.
Yeah, they really have. I thought when I saw them in preseason, Brian, I thought, oh my goodness.
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good. Darius hasn't played great yet. You know, he hasn't played great.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't.
But Kevin Love's been good. Tristan Thompson, a little, you know.
I mean, let's just be honest.
Resurrection.
Tristan has been terrible the last 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
He is now back. He's now playing the best.
Both he and Kevin are playing hard.
What I'm saying is it's not a gimme win. But they really need to win it. By the way, scheduling, the Cavs play in the Garden twice in 8 days. Very strange.
That is strange.
Okay. All right. After that, all right, those are the three games at home. Dallas, Charlotte, Cleveland. Really should win two of those three if you want to have any chance, because then here's what happens. At Philly, San Antonio, Brooklyn, at Toronto, Philly, Boston, at Milwaukee, Denver, Indiana, at Portland, at Golden State, which that may be their next win. Their next month.
Brutal.
I don't see a lot of wins in there. And so.
But if you know, so we know that Woj and Malika wrote this story that they're laying the groundwork to fire Fizdale. So if that's public and all this has happened, what are you waiting for?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe Fizz doesn't. Because I was going to say, hey, Fizz, maybe you need to win two of these next three, but then, you know, maybe he doesn't.
It sounds to me like it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know, he
needs to win like 10 of the next 11.
Yeah.
Well, like, what's the best case? Like, this roster is a 25-win roster at best.
Well, they won 17 games last year, and they were tanking. But they came out and pretty much, I mean, like, honestly, go back to Media Day. I'm not even saying go back a year. Go back to Media Day and listen to the Knicks brass sit up there. Scott Perry, I believe, explain why all these power forwards that they signed are actually going to work. Like, I would respect it if they were like, look, we went for these free agents. One of them blew his Achilles. One of them wanted to play in Brooklyn. We didn't get them. And so we signed some guys that we hope will help our young players develop, and we may be able to use them as trade assets later. Or maybe you don't want to say that because you don't want to insult them for signing, although they all know why they signed.
Right.
Right.
But they came out and said, no, this team's going to be really improved. Even though we apologize to you, this team's going to be really improved. And now they've doubled down on that and said, this isn't appropriate. You know, we're way better than this. And, you know, said we're not playing hard enough and threw it at Fizdale's feet. Like, they're doubling down.
It's just crazy.
After seeing this team for 10 games.
The other problem they have is Dennis Smith Jr. is just really, really struggling. And that.
Well, he's not playing either, right, Tim? He's not
even really playing. Last night he was like minus 20 something, or Tuesday night, I guess by the time it's come, minus 20. I mean, and he had the unfortunate leave of absence because his stepmother died. And, you know, he was banged up in Cambia. But the fan base has turned on him.
They've had terrible tragedy. Two of their players had deaths in their families.
Right.
Yes. And so it's a situation where I think for Dennis, like, if he's going to get his career on track, it ain't happening there. And so what you're going to end up probably getting is a couple of non-lottery picks from the Mavericks. And, you know,
all the more reason why you should have traded.
And the cap space to sign a bunch of power forwards.
Look,
the Porzingis deal.
I feel like had they made an offer and just got outbid by LA because they put in those pick swaps and everything, right. And, you know, LA had better younger players to offer. But I got the impression in talking with the Knicks that they weren't seriously bidding.
That just makes no sense.
And so the only rational thing I can think of is that they either A, thought RJ Barrett was going to be the type of player who would be equal to Anthony Davis in the future, which.
And he's going to be good.
Yeah.
But I don't know about equal.
Or they just said, we're afraid if we trade for this guy and we cash in all our chips that we're not going to be able to use our space on. But even then, I still don't, I still don't agree.
I just think they think he was going to leave. He was going to be there a short amount of time.
I mean, look, it's not my behind in the seat, so I guess I can't say. But I wonder, they gathered all these assets and all this space, and then they had this player. And, you know, this is one of the things, you know, I thought that the Lakers made a mistake on. I thought they should have gone in all in for Paul George. Now, it ended up working out for them because they got Anthony Davis a year later with the players that they would have traded for Paul George.
Right.
But in the moment, you know,
and remember, they almost got both. They really did. I think it was pretty close.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And, well, they almost got Kawhi, too.
Right.
So. It's, you know, they're fine. But,
I think they are fine, actually.
But I'm saying, like, I remember thinking, boy, you have LeBron arriving. Why not just go for Paul George? You know, here you have Anthony Davis saying, I want to come. I don't know.
Tell you, I'm looking at the offensive rank efficiency ratings.
Oh, God. It's bad.
It's 0.971 points. That's crazy.
Look at their three-point shooting, Jackie.
I know. But last year, as bad as they were,
and that's
they were
when they made everyone they took in Dallas.
That's
points
right.
per 100. I mean, that's
what's crazy is the one night the whole bunch of power forwards actually worked was in Dallas against Porzingis for their Super Bowl. And honestly, after this game, Thursday night with Porzingis coming back, Knicks fans don't have a single game to look forward to the rest of the season. They get to boo Porzingis tomorrow, and then it's months of just pain and agony.
Well, that's been a long time.
And the best thing they have is the best thing that Knicks fans have to hold on to right now is Porzingis is struggling in Dallas. That's the best thing they have to try to feel good about.
All right. Well, here's another team that's a disappointment, and this is coming as a surprise to me. The Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, I didn't see this.
They lost Tuesday night to the Kings. They're 4-7
with Dame lighting the world on fire.
Okay. So obviously they are really banged up. Zach Collins is out.
Yeah. That's hurt him.
3-4 months with shoulder dislocation. They had no idea that was going to be the case. That's a terrible injury for them. Nurkic, they have no timeline on him. You're thinking maybe
post All-Star break.
Yeah. You know, and even Rodney Hood, who's pretty important to them, has been out.
Whiteside's a curious fit. They got rid of Mo Harkless to get him.
They signed.
I never thought McMahon would be kind. A curious fit? Come
he
on
stinks.
Now.
He's the worst guy.
He's the cooler.
Who puts up numbers.
Hassan Whiteside is the cooler. He is. Think about what the Miami Heat with him last year, and now they're free.
The Heat the other night, Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press tweeted this. Between the Heat and Pistons Tuesday night, there were 16 players who were either out with injury,
right,
suspended, Dion, or in the G League. 16 between the two teams. And by the way, the Heat won easily. The Pistons had a rough travel situation. Anyway, Portland. You know, they really disappointed me in the conference finals last year, but I really like their team. I really like what they're about. And typically they're great at home, you know, and they've just kind of fallen apart. Now they did sign Pau Gasol that they hope.
I have no idea when he's going to play.
Yeah. And I don't think there's any timeline on him.
There's not. And the timeline might be never.
So, yeah, you mentioned Lillard. Lillard's shooting 50% overall.
He's averaging 33 a game.
40% from three. He's shooting. Look, he's just a hair under 50, 40, 90. He's 49% from the field, 39% from three, 91%. He's basically 50, 40, 90 for them in 11 games. And here's the scary number. 39 minutes a game he's playing.
Yeah, that is scary.
You're asking for trouble.
And he declared the other day that he's not a load management believer.
He never has been.
Yeah.
He's not. And CJ had the quote, McCollum had the quote, you know, you can Kawhi your way right out of playoffs, talking about if we try load management.
And with where they're at now.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're relying a lot on Mario Hezonja, who really shouldn't be relied on a lot.
but they have no choice. The Zach Collins injury was a killer because, you know, first of all, he's a really good young player. He can play both five and four, but he was probably their best defensive player by far. And they lost the other guys that were like good, solid, like the loss of, Aminu and Harkless has hurt them. And then you throw Whiteside in the mix, who Whiteside will block shots and be awful defensively. Like he has the amazing ability to put up good numbers and be a terrible player.
So the challenge for them, we've talked about this earlier on this podcast, not this one, but earlier episodes. They are primed to make a trade. But the problem that they are now in is that the players that they would use to trade, they need. Like, rip Hassan Whiteside all you want. Until Nurkic comes back, they need him to play center. I mean, they've been playing Hezonja and Anthony Tolliver at center, but they kind of need him.
Same with Bazemore, right?
Yeah, they kind of need him. So, in other words, if you traded one of those guys, you know, the trade I've been talking about is, doing a deal for Gallinari. You're going to need the guys that you would trade. So
they
may have to ride it out.
I don't think they can make a trade that's about this year. I don't. And I think
you're breaking Kevin Love's heart right now.
Well, Gallinari would be about this year. That would be a short term thing.
Right.
Unless you wanted to extend him.
The best thing that's happened for the Blazers this year, you know, aside from Dame absolutely lighting it up, is Anthony Simons looks like a legit player. He is a 20-year-old stud, and so if they're making a win-now trade, he's going to be the guy everybody's asking for.
Well, people ask for Zach Collins, too. Zach Collins and Simons are their two guys they would ask for.
Right, but I would say now, does Simons' emergence and the fact that this guy looks like he's going to be a really good player for a really long time, does that make C.J. McCollum expendable, and do they – finally seriously considered breaking up Dame and CJ and seeing what CJ's value is in the market, because that's something that could set you up for, you know, if you're trading CJ McCollum, you can make a deal that, you know, should have a return that is a significant long-term return.
I mean, everything that you just said is on a whiteboard makes sense.
Yeah. But
that's a hard sell.
That's,
I hear you.
Gotta have,
in your locker room.
We'd have to give Neil Oshie the cojones of the month if he made that trade.
And he's got them both signed up. You know what's crazy about this roster? They've got the second highest payroll in the league. And if you include the guys that they have spread, because they're still paying some guys, I know, like they're paying Anderson Varejao, for example, they actually are expending the most money in the league. They're spending the most money on everybody. And, their owner, Jody Allen, has obviously greenlit this. She also greenlit, extensions for Olshay and for Terry Stotts. So she doesn't seem like somebody who is worried about the money. That said, she has no track record. She's owned the team for a year.
Well, just looking at it, have they hit the ceiling of the Dame CJ era? I think the ceiling was last year. They get to the West Finals. They get swept by the Warriors. But it's hard to make a case that this core is going to be able to, this year, next year, the year after, is going to be able to come out of a West that has the Clippers, has the Lakers, you know, the Jazz, the Nuggets, the Rockets, some of these other young teams that are on the come. And again, if they're really going to shake things up, I think at this point, shopping CJ makes the most sense.
That's a big conversation. That's heavy.
That's a hot take, as we say in the biz.
Well, you know, the Blazers have such great fans, and
both of those guys, I want to be here forever. I want to
read. They've signed.
Yeah.
They've signed.
And I say this in part because Simons is a stud. This kid is 20.
No, yeah, everyone's raving about him.
Now,
right about that.
And
right
like, that. I mean, this kid's going to be a really good player for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. It's not a simple fix there. And they're in the West. There's just no breaks. You know,
right.
And like last night, they play at Sacramento. Well, last night for us, it'll be 2 days ago for this pod listeners. Play at Sacramento. Sacramento doesn't have, De'Aaron Fox. That's a game you got to win.
Right.
But in the West, there's no gimmies. So.
Agreed.
By the way, that De'Aaron Fox injury, grade 3 ankle sprain.
Yep.
That's month. I know they said reevaluated in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
he'll be
not
out.
Great.
He'll be out months. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. Thank you, McMahon. Good luck tonight. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you to Troy
Brian
back in Bristol, who's running the show, and Andrew Hahn. Have a great weekend, everybody.